This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went forth, the other disciples, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter, and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And Simon Peter therefore also came following him, and entered the tomb, and he beheld the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on his head, not lying in the, with the linen wrappings rolled up in a place by itself. And then entered therefore the other disciple also who had first come to the tomb, and he saw and believed. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. You can be seated. This is from John 21, the same chapter. 8 days later, when Jesus comes among the disciples again to reveal himself to Thomas particularly. We're told in the other Gospels that Thomas wasn't the only one whom Jesus had to show his hands and scars and ask them to touch. It was all the disciples in the first encounter. In the second encounter, because Thomas wasn't there, he comes to him, which is encouraging to me because it's a reminder to me how much God loves me, that he doesn't want anyone to be left out. And so it would seem obvious why he would appear to them that first night. They were afraid. They were hidden behind these doors. And fear and confusion and guilt, because they had all deserted him at the cross except for John. And Jesus appears to them and says to them three different times, "Peace to you." But why come that other time? He came other times. This particular time he came kind of like the woman at the well, just for this one individual. So again, the encouraging thing for me, if I find myself in a place where I'm struggling, or if you've ever been in a place spiritually where you felt left out, maybe you've been in a setting and you're seeing all kinds of people having amazing experiences and encounters with the Lord and you feel left out. If you genuinely don't want to be left out, now sometimes, unfortunately, Christians just want to be left out because they're content with where they're at. But don't ever be content with where you're at, because the riches of Christ are unsearchable. There's always more to discover. And in those encounters, we discover more and therefore we enter into the experience of more. And Jesus came for this one person. And in your life, if you ask the same question, Lord, I feel left out, he'll come and encounter you if that's what you want. He said if you seek him, he will let you find him. The only reason we don't find him in new ways is we've become content with ankle-deep water or knee-deep water or waist-deep water because it's still safe. See, even water that's waist-deep, I've come into these things, I've come here, but you're still in control. But when it's water over your head, water to swim in, then the Holy Spirit's controlling you. And that's scary to our flesh, but it's God's ultimate will for all of us. And this wasn't going to be the word, but this is going to be the word today. We'll do more with this story on Monday. But let me just encourage you. So look what he says. He says, after 8 days, again his disciple was inside, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and he stood in their midst. And he said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side. And be not unbelieving, but believing." So he said, "Reach here, touch, and be not unbelieving anymore, but believing." And then he says to him, "You're my Lord and you're my God." And Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe." So we're going to talk about that Monday, because John, he didn't see Jesus. We have no account except in the upper room where he had a personal individual encounter with Jesus. He was with the groups, but John was the first one to believe, even before Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was the first one to see the risen Christ, but John was the first one to believe. And I believe it all goes back to his encounter with Christ in John 13 when he laid his head on the breast of Jesus. Well, again, we'll talk about that more Monday. But here I want us to focus on Thomas. for some of us, now Thomas, again, wasn't there that first night. But I'm sure for the next 7 days, all of his buddies told him, Jesus walked through the door. He didn't open the door. He walked through the door. We were all afraid. We were all dealing with all the emotions we were dealing with and all the unbelief. And he walked through the door and showed us his side, showed us his hands, and invited us to touch them. He spoke peace to us 3 different times. He breathed on us and gave us a foretaste of the coming Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. He's risen. And he tells Thomas, he says, now touch and feel and stop being an unbeliever. So Thomas didn't believe the story. Now, I love it when I'm John. I love it when I don't have to see to believe. I'm sure you do too. I mean, that's the coolest way to live the Christian life. That's like flying automatic pilot. You're just believing. It's just easy to believe. And my prayer is that I'll be like John all my life and just believe. Even though I don't have to see it, I have to have evidence. When things look to be going in the wrong direction or not happening the way I thought they would, in those dark moments, in the confusing times, that I would just believe. But it's not always that way for me. And everybody in the world can tell me about their experience. And here's what we do. Here's what we can do with this risen Christ. If we can find ourselves in a setting and everybody around us or a lot of people around us are saying, man, this happened. And then we can go into the self-protection mode and go, I don't need that. I don't want that. I got all I need. And I see that happen all the time with Christians. It is a tragic, tragic, tragic deception from the enemy. Every one of us have all that we need in the sense that we're complete in Christ. But none of us have entered into the experience of all that that is. And you'll never stop until you step over to the other side and see him face to face. But we're going after that. We want to experience and manifest fullness. And we discover and experience and manifest and discover and experience and manifest and then discover and experience and manifest. Don't be one of those people who's just content with where you are because you're playing it safe. Jesus is so faithful that he doesn't get frustrated with us and go, look, you had your shot, have encounters with all these other people. You didn't even show up. And then they've been telling you about it for 7 days and you wouldn't believe any of it. But Jesus didn't. He showed up, said, here are the scars. Put your fingers in. And then Thomas goes, my Lord and my King. And Jesus said, you can stop being an unbeliever now and be a believer. The point being is, he came back for this one person who wasn't believing anything, even though all of his brothers and whoever else was in that upper room were bearing witness of it. Jesus is the hound of heaven. And I'm so grateful he's the hound of heaven. I learned something years ago about me. The scripture says we're to take the kingdom of God by force. That there's this holy violence that we're going after, the kingdom of God. But so many times I've put the Lord in position where the kingdom of God's had to be forced on me. But I'm grateful that he does that. That even when I stop pursuing, or I get lackadaisical, or I get content with less than the experience of the all, then he just keeps after me. He pursues me tenaciously. And he meets with me with a massive encounter that gives me an opportunity to shake out of that place of complacency and to start moving forward. Because where Thomas was in his walk with the Lord was not the same place the others were. They had a 7-day head start. And what they were knowing for those 7 days was glorious. But Thomas was knowing what was not until Jesus cared enough, the risen Christ, to come and appear to this one guy and give him the same experience that the others had so that he could believe. Aren't you grateful that Jesus loves you so much? He works harder at you believing than you work at it. That's just our God of grace. That's who he is. I'm so grateful for that in my life. So I just encourage you from this resurrection story that if you need a fresh encounter with the Lord, he's ready. Now, here's the deal. Thomas knew where the encounter had happened. And even though he was unbelieving, he was down in that room where they were 8 days later. He had to suspect, all right, this is where it happened. And so if it's going to happen, let it happen again. Now, I don't mean you have to be in a physical room, but we do have to posture ourselves, right? Prayer or our secret place time is not first and foremost about supplication. It's not about getting along with the Lord and then just barfing up all the things we want him to do for us. It doesn't start with supplication. It starts with fascination and then adoration. And supplication's important, but it's the last thing on the list. First, it's about discovery and fascination, encounter. And I have encounters with the Lord every time I get in the Word, every time I spend my time with the Lord. I'm not just talking about some massive conference. I don't want you to be a conference chaser. If it's a good conference to go to, go. But you can have an encounter in your house, in your den. But just posture yourself. Put yourself like Thomas did in a place where encounters happen. Your prayer time, whatever that might be. And Jesus will come to you. Because he, again, is working harder at your life of faith than we are. Thank God for that. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.